Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and every one. Thank and praise the Lord today. This is Thursday. I don't know about you, but I thank and praise the Lord for Thursday. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I thank and praise the Lord for our host, Apostle Armstrong. Thank and praise the Lord for that man of God that God chose to be the founder of this broadcast. And I thank and praise the Lord every opportunity that we have to give the word. And I thank and praise the Lord for all of you that have continued to support this broadcast by listening, by the way, a computer, a radio, however, by phone, however that you've been receiving it. I just thank and praise the Lord for another day that he have spared us, another day that he have allowed us and given us another opportunity to do what thus says the Lord. We're just going to open up with prayer of thanksgiving. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. David even said that we need to not forget all God's benefits. He forgiveth all our iniquity and healeth all of our disease. And I just thank and praise the Lord right now. Father, I just give thanks and honor to the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for this day that you have made. I thank you for the grace that been released. I thank you for mercy as well that been released, that we could have a joyful and obedience and submission to the Lordship of the Trinity. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, through your obedience, you made it possible for the Spirit of God to dwell on the inside of us. And through your Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, you work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for grace that enable and empower us to hear and to obey you. Thank you, Father, for the authority that you have given us over the enemy. Thank you for the authority of binding and loosing. Father, I just want to praise you and thank you again. I want to thank you for what you're doing in the earth realm in this hour and this time. Even the enemy have increased his attack through sickness, disease, and affliction, persecution. But Father, I thank you. You declared in your word when Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock of revelation, knowledge, and understanding that I am the Christ, the anointed one, my anointing that destroy yokes, remove burden, by getting a knowledge, an understanding, and a revelation, the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. So, Father, I just want to say thank you as you continue to give us knowledge and understanding of who we are in Christ, what Christ did for us. I thank you, Father, for household salvation. Father, I even pray for household salvation. Those that have loved ones that haven't as yet came into the ark of safety, which is salvation. I bind the stronghold. I bind the strongholds of addiction, alcohol, marijuana, immorality. I bind it in the master's name of Jesus. I even pray, Father, for the wind of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of conviction, to visit them, our loved ones, in the master's name of Jesus, that he will bring conviction. Father, it was through your love that you drawed us. It was your love, kindness, and tender mercy, and I thank you for it right now. I even pray that the Lord of the harvest, that you would send forth labor through their past to witness to them that they have received your word. Father, forgive us as believers, the ones that don't even take time to witness anymore. I pray, Father, it's the old saints that cause them to catch on fire again. Begin to stir our hearts like never before, that we'll continue to reach out to the saved. I come against and I bind the spirit of fear, the spirit of intimidation off the believers. I loose them from it right now in the master's name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this broadcast all over the world. I pray for the Holy Spirit. Without you, Holy Spirit, no one can be drawn. Without you, Holy Spirit, it's no understanding of what's going to be said. It's by you, Holy Spirit, that you can destroy the yokes and remove the burden. I pray that you will breathe on this broadcast. Breathe on every word that will be spoken, caused by the time, the words that be released from my mouth, that you will cause it to bring enlightenment, that you will cause it to bring understanding to those that were here. And Father, we tell you, thank you. I want to thank you again for being among the living and not the dead. I even lift up to Marie today, whoever they may be, Father. Father, you said in Isaiah 53 that you have took our grief. So I bind and come against overwhelmed grief. Father, I know that we do grieve, and it's okay for us to grieve, but I come against the enemy that would try to use the opportunity to try to get them to break down under grief, that they would become confused, that they'll want to say that they don't want to live anymore without their loved one. But Father, strengthen them in their inner man by your Spirit. Help them to continue to look to you, Father. And Father, I just praise you right now in the matchless name of Jesus. I just praise you. I bless you. I decree, Father, that you'll continue to be faithful. You told Jeremiah, I watch us over my word to perform it. Thank you, Father, for watching over your word to perform it. I thank you, even as David said in Psalms 23, I declare that Jesus is our shepherd and we shall not want. I thank you, Father, for supplying all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, I thank you that you is the lifter of our head today. Thank you for lifting the saints' head today. Thank you for causing us to continue to look to the hear from what cometh our help, even in spite of what we see happening in the body of Christ. Father, I pray that you will cause us to look to the groom who is Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith. I want to thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your patience. God, you've been merciful. Lord knows you've been merciful. You've been patient. You've been very patient with us, but help us, Father, remove the veils, the scales from our eyes to see that if it ever been a time that we as born again believe, we need to be steadfast. We need to persevere. We need to be consistent in the things of you. We need to make time. We even come against that spirit of detraction, that spirit of busyness, in the matchless name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you and I praise you again. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, I said thank you. Thank you for your anointing that being released, bondable, that it would destroy yokes, it will remove burden, it will stir the hearts and challenge your people and those that would tune in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God is such a merciful, patient God. For about 2 weeks or more, we talked about the will of God, that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health. And that's in 3 John, the second verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul shall prosper. We thank God for Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. We thank God for Matthew 8, 17 and 18, and then 1 Peter 2:24. It is God's will for us to be here, to walk in divine health. Even when I even minister on that, those 2 weeks, my body was attacked. Yes, my body. Well, the Bible tells us in Mark 4 and Matthew 13, the sower planted the seed, and immediately came the weak one. And that's a parable that I thank and praise the Lord. Kenny Copeland used to say this when I first got saved, by now 40 years ago now. He talked about as soon as the word be sold, the enemy going to come, and he going to come with affliction. He going to come with persecution and tribulation because he do not want that word to get sold or get rooted in your heart, and he'll do whatever he can. So I thank and praise the Lord for grace to continue to stand on the word that, and I truly believe, I don't ask God to heal me, but I command healing to be. And I thank and declare and praise God for healing my body. I give him praise. I give him honor. You know, whenever God give us instruction, you can rest assured the enemy gonna come immediately. He gonna come through offenses. He'll come through trials, tribulation. He'll come through affliction. He gonna use whatever he can to try to detract you, because he don't want you to meditate on that word, to get more enlightenment and understanding and revelation. He don't want you to be a doer of that word. But you know what's so good about all of it? We have authority over the enemy. Yes, we have authority. Peter said for us to be sober vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, goes a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But you and I need to know we have been given authority over the enemy. Yes, we have been given authority. Not only the disciple, when you go in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and even after Jesus chose those 12 disciples, when he sent them out, he gave them authority over the enemy, over sickness and disease. Then when he had 70 more disciples, he gave them the same authority. Then he told us in Matthew, Mark 16, he told us these signs will follow them that believe. And I tell you, we do have the authority. We don't have to be intimidated by the enemy. You know, when we look into the word, when we get in the word of God and study and meditate on the word, the Lord will reveal to us who is our enemy. He would also let us know, according to Ephesians 6 chapter, he done given us weapons. Paul even said in Corinthians, he told the church at Corinth, he said, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And we need to know we have what we need to fight the enemy. Well, today we're going to be sharing a little bit. We're going to go to 2 Peter. We're going to go to 2 Peter, and we're going to begin reading. And that second chapter, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. And it's talking about the last days. And Apostle Peter know that he said that the Lord had let him know, through this, if you read it, that Lord would let him know he was going to be dying sooner or later. It was coming time for him to die. But he wanted the people and reminded people that, what going to be taking place in these last days. When you read Matthew, the 24th chapter, you find out that Jesus was telling the people in the Old Testament what was going to take place. And he made a bold statement. He said, let no man deceive you. Well, if he said, let no man, I'm sure that means female, whoever, man or woman, deceive you. He even told them that it's going to be many false prophets, and they're going to lead many astray. He said, many going to be offended, many going to be astray. And he said, the love of many going to wax cold. I want to encourage you as a born-again believer, stay focused on the Lord. I found this out. When you look over the body of Christ now, you see some things. You see rebellion. You see disobedience. You see the spirit of lust. You even see some taking part in immorality. You see sexual sin. You see males is getting with males and females getting with females. I mean, some of that taking place in the body of Christ. And the enemy gonna always lie to us and want us to believe, to discredit God, is God, his character. But the Bible tells us that God made male and female. You know, the enemy want homosexuals and lesbians to believe that the body of Christ, that we don't love them. We love them, but we hate the sin. And even in this hour, I found out as a prophet, and standing up proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling people about sin and the consequences of it, a lot of them get offended and they'll begin to persecute me and do certain things. But I thank and praise the Lord for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The enemy is going to extreme measures trying to get us to be quiet. It's those things that he's trying to shut you up. But we got to, it's the Bible tells us in Ezekiel, sir, we got to cry loud and spare not like never before. I even say to you, I admonish you that have family members or loved ones that's not saved. You need to really pray for them. Now I hear say, well, I've been praying for them for 30 or 40 years. I find out sometime and I'm going to get into this, I find out sometime in my personal life, I have to ask God to give me wisdom how to pray for my loved ones, the ones that wasn't saved. It's many types of prayer. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that would give us insight, give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom how to intercede for our loved ones. That one of the things in Matthew, the 12th chapter, Jesus said, if anyone into a strong man house, you first got to bind the strong man. Better yet, you got to be stronger than him. And if you have anyone in your family is not saved, that means that Satan have a stronghold in their life. They operate in the kingdom of darkness. And you just can't walk in there except you first bind him. You have to bind strong man Satan that's operate in your loved one life. You have to bind that addiction. If it's alcohol, drugs, marijuana, sex, you have to bind that first in the name of Jesus. And then you have to ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth labor through their pastor witness to them that they have received your word. You got to bind those demonic activities in their life. You have to know how to pray. And that's some, I'm still learning. I haven't, as Paul saying, comprehend everything, but we're still in the process of learning. But I'm telling you, believe God and know this necessary. I learned this about prayer. When you start praying for anyone, even for yourself, if you start praying about a situation in your personal life, or you start praying for your loved one, even praying for certain needs and things, know it appears to get worse. But know that that's a sign that the word of God is at work at the root of that situation. He's working on it, and he will bring it to pass. But there, too, again, so we admonish you that you need to really pray for them. Even if you have to fast for them, but the first thing, show them love like God show you love. Love is not saying that I'm a compromise with you, but love is saying I love you enough to tell you the truth. And that's the thing in the hour. As the time draw nigh to Jesus coming, a lot of people don't want truth. People are quick to get offended when you tell them the truth. Even in the body of Christ with some of them. You try to tell them the truth. Some of them, they get offended. They want to scatter lies, your name, and all of that. But these are some of the things that we, as born-again believers, we have to endure in this hour, in this time. Well, we're going to go to 2 Peter. I'm going to start reading in 2 Peter, the second chapter. I'm going to read the entire chapter. So it's going to be a long reading. But if you have your Bible, go along with me. One of my words is put your eyes on it. The Bible tells us that we need to study the word so we can rightly divide the word of truth. Now, if it's the right way to divide it, well, you better know it's the wrong way. So there, too, again, we need to know that God is giving us time to make it right, not only us. But we go find out even in this second chapter, he going to tell us that God, that God is not flat concerned his promise as some thing, but God is not willing that any shall perish. So like I say, we going to start in the second chapter, and I might read the third chapter as well. I'm in 2 Peter. And you know Peter was a bold young son. When Matthew and the gospel began to reveal Peter was very bold. He was very outspoken. You know, Peter was the one that had the faith to step out the boat. You know, a lot of people say, well, Peter sank. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I were to see if the water were bolstering according to the scripture all around me like it was I'm going to tell you the truth. I probably wouldn't even got out the boat. But thank and praise the Lord for Peter. When Peter also was the one that in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, the yoke, the scroll one. He was the one. And when Peter got that revelation, Jesus complimented him, but he credited that it was God that revealed to him. And y'all, when we get a knowledge, an understanding, and a revelation about Jesus, the Christ, what he came to do, what he accomplished while he was on this earth. The Bible even tells us, in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. It tells us that the name of Jesus is above every other name. That's why in the name of Jesus, demons have to stop in their track. Sickness and disease can flee from your body. Whatever the enemy is doing, if you get some knowledge and understanding and revelation about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and you put some belief, put some faith and confidence in that name, you and I will see the miraculous, even the blood of Jesus. These are some of the things. But there too, again, I'm going to begin reading. It's 6:21, and I'm going to read slow. But I want you to listen. Like I said, I'm reading from the Living Translation. I like the Living Translation. It brings it down to our language today. It said, but there was also false prophets in Israel, just as there would be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach their destructive heresy about God and even turn against their masters who brought them. There will be a swift and terrible end. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of them, Christ and his true way will be slandered. And they agreed it, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction is on the way. But God did not spare even the angels when they sinned. He threw them into hell in gloomy caves and darkness until the judgment day. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and his family of seven. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. Then God destroyed the whole world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, he turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into heaps of ashes and swept them off the face of the earth. He made them an example of what would happen to ungodly people. And there, too, again, if you see, constantly revealing to us that God will not tolerate with sin. Sin will not go unpunished. Please hear me. I think it's in Proverbs 11:21. It said that the wicked shall not go unpunished, but God will deliver the seed of the righteous. But that means somebody got to be praying. Somebody got to be standing in the gap. Now, sin have consequences. I thought I was going to go into St. John, the second chapter, in the fifth verse, when they run out of wine at the wedding, And Mary told the people that his Jesus Father do whatever he tell them to do. And y'all listen, we in the hour and the time, the enemy going to the extreme to try to get you and I, well, he been doing it, but more now than ever, to try to get us to dishonor, to disobey God. Come on, somebody. It's sad. He don't want us. He want us to believe the word is not true. And this is what Apostle Peter was warning the people. He said, I want to remind you. He said, in that fourth verse, it said, God did not spare even the angels when they sinned. He threw them into hell in gloomy caves and darkness upon the judgment day. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and his family of seven. Noah built 120 years he preached that it was going to rain, but they didn't want to hear. Y'all, we're in that, it's happening now. Some people go sit right up in the church, and the minister will be ministering the word, giving them what thus says the Lord. And some people sit right there with a hard heart, go leave the church, continue in immorality, continue in sexual sin, continue in disobedience and rebellion, continue in offenses and all of that, unforgiveness, like it's okay. That's the time that we're living in. It's sad when people go to the house of God and continue to hear the word of God and leave the place without submitting and obeying. They even ask for altar call. And people said right up in that, know that they need prayer, but got too much of pride to go to the front when prayer is offered. Don't you know when a man or a woman of God make an altar call, don't you know right there the anointing is there to deliver you? The anointing is there to destroy the yoke and remove the burden. You see, as we said, the strongest thing about all of us is our will. That's the act of our will. That's why in the Garden of Eden, God did not interfere with Adam and Eve because he told them from the beginning what not to do. But they choose to disobey God and do what they wanted to do. But guess what? It were consequences. Listen, his consequences for your sin. Don't let nobody tell you there's no consequences. Yes, we in grace and mercy, but listen, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin, but grace enables us with the ability and the power to do what God say do. I got grace. I can just go on and fornicate. I can go on and lay up. I can go on shack up if that's what I want to do. God, listen, that's rebellious in its fineness. You can't do that. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. And just what Peter, the reason why Peter taking us back to what happened in Noah's time, he's taking us back, what happened with Solomon, to let us know God, those people were punished for their sins. And that letting us know, yes, we got a better covenant. What make it that we have a better covenant with better? We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. They don't have the Spirit of God on the inside. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. It will come up on them. That's why when you go in Exodus, when you go in Deuteronomy, he will constantly telling them about walking in obedience. But the law was a master to let man know that if I told you what to do, you still couldn't do it. And see, now we got a better covenant. The Spirit of God, the Bible, Peter said we all are priestly. We're priests now. Holy people, God's still calling for holiness. We're living in a time now some people preach, it's no holiness. You don't have to live a sacrifice life. That's a life from the pits of hell. You can walk around here with all and bitterness in your. No, you can't. Don't believe that. And this was, he said, and God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and his family of seven, nor warned the world of God righteous judgment. Then God destroyed the whole world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, he turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know it was that was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Males were going with males. And prophet said, y'all, that is not of God. It said even in Romans, the first chapter, it said homosexuals, and please hear me, God loves you, but God hates the sin. You were made in this image and this likeness. The enemy will twist lies. Don't you know if you believe the wrong thing long enough, you'll think it's true? I remember, I know this woman, I won't call her name, but I know this woman, she told me, and she was a former lesbian, and she said it, when she was in prison, she had to do some time, she said the devil had her so confused that he had her believing she had not made a woman pregnant. I mean, that's how the illusion can be so strong. And I say to you, if you even listen in this broadcast and you know somebody in your family that dealing with lesbianism, and almost you need to pray and break and come against that stronghold of confusion. That is not God. That is the devil. That is the devil doing that. That's him. And this woman told me, she said, Prophet Miller, she said, the devil had me believing I hadn't got this woman pregnant. And she said, when God opened up my eyes, and thanks be to God because of the prayer, her daughter the family were praying for her and how God opened up her spirit to eye. Now this woman, she living for Jesus. She preaching. She even ministering the gospel witness as much as she can. But y'all, it's a strong delusion. The devil can do that. We're living in a time that it appears that it's easier to believe a lie than to believe the truth. This is the time we operate, and Peter's trying to warn him. And then what he said later, I'm in the sixth verse, he said later he turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into a heap of ashes and swept them off the face of the earth. He made them an example of what would happen to ungodly people. But at the same time, God rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a good man who was sick of all immorality and weakness around him. Yes, he was a righteous man who was distressed by the weakness he saw in here day after day. So you see, the Lord know how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while punishing the weak right up until the day of judgment. He especially hard on those who follow their own evil lustful desires and who despise authority. We're living in that time now. People don't want to submit to delegate authority. It's sad, children being disobedient to parents. You got some in the church don't want to submit to leadership. Now, let me bring some understanding there. If you have a leader that ministering and preaching contrary to what is written, no, you don't have to obey them. But there, too, again, you don't go out here and write a banner about them or go out here and talk, bash them. No, you pray for them. But you don't have to stay in that ministry. But no, that don't give you the opportunity. Remember Noah's son when he got drunk? Was it Noah? Yeah, I think. When he got drunk and his son, he got naked and one of his sons seen his nakedness and he went and told his brothers and his brothers went in there and they covered themselves with a sheet and they went in backwards. No, you don't go around and talk about it, but you pray for them. You see, y'all, we got to do this thing the way the Bible say do it. He said it's especially hard on those who follow their own evil lustful desires, who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, dare even to scoff at the glorious one without so much as tremble. But the angels, even though they are far greater in power and strength than these false teachers, never speak out disrespectful against the glorious one. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creature of instinct, who are born to be caught and killed. They laugh at the terrified power they know so little about, and they will be destroyed along with them. Their destruction is their reward for their harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasure in broad daylight. People not ashamed of what they do now. I mean, they boldly, you see males with males and females, I mean boldly in public, they not ashamed of it. That's somebody's heart. It's so hard. It is sad. And they think it's all right. I was at this funeral on Monday, and this young man, he preached brother funeral, and his subject was comfort and caution at a funeral. How God comfort us, but it's also caution because God want to warn us. Death going to come to all of us. But we all going to spend eternity somewhere. You're going to either spend eternity in heaven or hell. It's your choice. And the enemy got people so confused and messed up in their mind that they'll tell you, well, I know I'm going to hell and it's okay. You don't have no idea what hell is all about. No idea. That's how blind the enemy will mess you up, have you to mock. Mock God. And listen, this is a one-shot deal. You mess around and don't receive Jesus and don't walk in obedience and you go to hell. It ain't no chance. God, give me a second chance. You're going to be there for all eternity. That means everlasting. It's not funny. But the devil got people so blindfolded, their heart is so hard, they laugh about it. Oh, it's okay to go to hell. I'm going to go down there and do it. You ain't going to do none of that. That's how foolish and blind the devil got you in your mind. He said they love to indulge in evil pledge in broad daylight. They are disgrace and a stain among you. They revel in deceitfulness while they feast with you. They commit adultery with their eyes. Their lust is never satisfied. They make a gang of luring unstable people into sin. They train themselves to be greedy. They are doomed and cursed. They have wandered off the right road and followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad courses when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. See, he's talking about what happened up under the old covenant, and that's warning us, that let us know that God forbid us to follow the path that they follow in. God don't want you doing what they did. You don't have to. Jesus made it possible. I can escape hell, and you can escape hell and go to heaven. But it's your choice. No, God ain't going to make it. I used to think God would make me live right. But God let me know one day, he said, no, I'm not going to make you. I'm going to set, Deuteronomy 30, I believe it. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. Some people don't realize. If you live in a righteous life and you training your children up in the admonition of the Lord, you showing them the word and you living that example before them, your children is more like to follow you. You know, my dad used to say, don't do the bad that I do. But that's not scripture. A child going to imitate their parents, mostly. If they see you doing the bad, you making them feel like it's okay for them to do it. That's why we as born-again believers, somebody is watching you when you go into your home, when you leave your home, when you in the street. They ain't just watching you while you inside the doors of the church. But they watching your lifestyle. They listen at what's coming out of your mouth. They listen at the conversation that you having with other people about the Lord. God, my master. The 17th verse. He said, these people are as useless dried up springs of water, or as cloud blown away by the wind, promising much and delivering nothing. They are doomed to blackness and darkness. They brag about themselves with empty foolishness boasting, with love for desire as they bait. They lure back into seeing those who have just escaped from such weak living. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the weak way of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then get entangled up with sin and become a slave again, they're worse off than before. You ever got delivered from something? I've been there. God delivered me from something, and I found myself, let myself get back into it again. It would seem like I wasn't going to never get delivered again. Now, I'm talking about me. I'm being transparent. Y'all listen. The devil is real, just like God is real. But the enemy have you thinking only God real, the devil ain't real. The enemy can entice you. These invisible beings, they can influence you. Why? We are the spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. God is the spirit. Jesus even said, those that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus done made the way that you can live right. Don't let the enemy deceive you. We're in the greatest hour of deception. Oh, God understand. God understand you alcoholic. God understand you a lesbian. God understand you homeless. Yeah, but listen, he made a way for your escape. Why would God said don't do it if he don't have a way for your escape? God done made a way for our escape through Jesus, his son. He sent Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Listen, Romans the first chapter, we're without excuse. No, God ain't going to make you. And I mean, when you go in Genesis and you read about Adam and Eve, God didn't make them, but he told them. He told them what not to do. And Adam got his eyes off of God and was looking at Eve, and he followed Eve. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Don't get so caught up. Don't focus so much on people that ain't living right. Focus on the bridegroom. Yes, it's a state in the beginning. You got some saints. They ain't doing what they supposed to do. Pray for them. God give you a word, give it to them, but you go on. Forgive them, pray for them, and go on by your business. You're going to stand before God for you and not nobody else. No, you ain't going to stand before them. Believers is not going to stand before God for sin. We're going to stand before God for what did we do with our assignment, what he told us to do. Whether we're going to receive rewards or we're going to lose them. Yeah, we'll get to heaven. But, honey, I don't just want to get to heaven. I want to receive some reward. I want to get a well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I'm working on. And thank God for the Holy Spirit to help me to do it. Hallelujah. He going to tell him, he said, I'm at the 20th verse. And when people escape from the weak ways of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up with sin and become its slave again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the right way to live than to know it and then reject the holy commandment that was given to them. They make these proverbs come true. A dog returned to his vomit and a washed pig returned to mud. We're going into the third chapter. It said, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember and understand what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostle. First, I want to remind you that in the last days, there will be scoffers who will laugh at the truth and do every evil thing they desire. And we got people like that, they laugh about it. They don't believe it's going to happen. Oh, if I go to hell, that is so sad. If I go to hell, I just go to hell. I ain't going by myself. Listen, in my book, you foolish to go at all. I do care. I'm concerned about who go to hell, but I ain't so concerned. I'm going with you. I'm going to try to help you out with the help as the Lord lead me. But to sit up there, I can't even stand to get burned. And they going to tell me the hell is hotter than that, and my whole being will be burning. Ooh, Jesus. Father, thank you for truth. He said, this would be the argument. Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he? Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world first created. They deliberately forget that God made heaven by the word of his command. And he brought the earth up from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the world with a mighty flood. And God have also commanded that the heaven and the earth would be consumed by fire on the day of judgment, when ungodly people would perish. But you must not forget, dear friend, that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish. So he is giving more time for everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpected as a thief. Then the heaven will pass away with a terrible noise, and everything in them would disappear in fire in the earth, and everything on it would be exposed to judgment. Since everything around us is going to be met away, what holy, godly life you should be living. You should look forward to that day in hurry, it alone, the day when God will set the heaven on fire and the elements will melt away in the flame. But we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth he has promised, a world where everyone is right with God. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and a blameless life and be at peace. And remember, the Lord is waiting so that people have time to be saved. This is just as our beloved Brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom God given him. Speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of this comment are hard to understand. And those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters about to mean something quite different from what he meant, just as they do other part of the scripture and resort disaster. And see, there too again, here Peter, here Apostle Peter, reminding us, and I'm telling you, and like he said, God is not concerning his promise. Jesus is going to come back. I don't know about you. I want not only my loved ones, but I want to see everybody saved. Why? Because that's the Spirit of God in me. God made us in his image, in his likeness. And God wants us, as an act of our will and our choice, to choose Jesus. Jesus. See, Jesus paid a price. Jesus gave his life. He removed the judgment of God off of us. But now, y'all, let me tell you something. If you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't save yourself. I learned even as a minister of the gospel, I can't change nobody. I can't make nobody do nothing. My assignment is to give you this word, and it's up to you to choose whether you want to be saved or not. I thank God for the day that I received Jesus, my Lord and Savior. No, I'm not. I don't tell nobody if you get saved, everything gonna be easy. No, it's not. It looked like when I got saved, or when I received Jesus, it's like as the old folks say, the bottom fell out the bucket. That's when the enemy really began to fight me. I noticed sometimes now certain things that God had me to minister on or share with people. My body be attacked. My finances be attacked. My family be attacked. But see, God is faithful, as the scriptures say. God won't allow us to be tempted above that we able to bear, but God have always made escape. And I like some that Pastor Malcolm said in his message on Monday. You know, some people say, well, suppose what y'all been believing is not true. Well, guess what? I don't have anything to lose. If I don't believe all these years and stood and lived right according to the word of God, I don't have nothing to lose. But suppose it is true and you didn't receive Jesus, you're going to be lost for all eternity. Is it worth it? No. Just like people walk around in unforgiveness. Just like people walking around in unforgiveness. I'm going to go, I think I want Revelation, the 21 chapter, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with Revelation 21. And y'all, I'm telling you, this is serious business. I'm telling you, stop playing with it. Stop letting the devil make you think, and Mark and what said. Y'all don't do it. Don't let the enemy do that. I'm going to read, it's in Revelation, the 21 chapter, and look at the 7 and the 8 verse. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. This is my closing scripture. All who are victorious will inherit all the blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards who turn away from me, unbelievers in the corrupt and murders and immorality, and those who practice witchcraft, idol worship, all liars, their doom is in the lake that burn with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. Now, there too again, when you read the Old as well as the New Testament, it let us know. God told Jeremiah, I haste. I watch over my word to perform it. Isaiah, he said, the word that go out of my mouth, it won't return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I say. In the gospel, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but the word of God will never pass away. Y'all listen, the word of God is true. And you know, God is constantly, God the Holy Spirit through us, God have to have a body, but God is constantly crying through his believers. He constantly pleading and crying to the unsaved, and we that are saved, listen, take me more serious. Yes, I have to repent. I had to repent some past. So God, and you got to take me more serious than what you're taking me. You know, that's the thing about human nature. Y'all, we take serious what we want to take serious. You ever notice that? You want something real bad. You'll do whatever it takes to get it. But when it comes down to the things of God, the enemy always wants us to believe we can't do it. When God done told us in his word, I work in you both to will and to do it my good pleasure. God done put his spirit, God's spirit come in us and help us to do what needs to be done. Don't let the enemy cause you to miss out on eternity being with the Lord. The enemy constantly telling people, just like Peter was saying, and that said, they tell you, oh, They said that a long time ago. Yes, some of you said, yeah, grandma said it, so-and-so said, Jesus ain't came yet. Listen, he's coming. He's coming sooner than you think, because when you go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, you see the signs of his coming, nation against nation, children against parents, parents against children. I mean, you know, rebellion, disobedience. Like that's a homosexuality. Y'all, it's in his height. Shacking up. People want to just do what they want to do, and they think it's funny. It's not funny, but that's the way the enemy got you thinking. See, the devil always, I remember when I first got saved, the enemy tried to tell me that he wasn't even real. And then when he did, he tried to get me to believe. He said, if you don't bother me, I won't bother you. For why I fell for it, yes, I did, in my little ignorance, I fell for that lie. But I found out that wasn't true. See, the enemy here is a great deceiver. And like I said, I've had people, well, probably you shouldn't talk about. No, I'm exposing him. You need to know the adversary is real. He hates you and he hates me. And he after all of us. But thanks be to God through Christ Jesus that always called us to triumph. Christ done made it possible that we can live right. He done made it possible that we can maintain, that God's spirit sustained us until Jesus come. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you done got slack, even if you done backslide, you can come back to the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, if I were you, I wouldn't let the sun go. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I would not let this day pass without me accepting Jesus as my Savior. I tell him I need a Savior. And I believe you, the Son of God. Forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. And confess him as your Lord and Savior. He'll do it. He'll come in. I'm a witness. He'll deliver you. If you're addicted to any kind of drug, he'll deliver you. See, God ain't going to override your will. You have to ask him. It's in one man, the prophet, Lord, save me. Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. He is waiting, ready and willing to come into your life to save you from hell. Like I said, I don't tell people if you get saved, everything going to be perfect. No, that's not true. That's not true. But I tell you what. What is true, you don't have to live or go alone. The Lord will help you. And I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, this ain't the time to retreat. This the time to get more near and closer to draw. He said, if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. This the time we need to draw more. Stop playing with unforgiveness. Stop playing with sin. I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. Because y'all, I'm telling you, you can see the signs of Jesus coming. Oh, he's coming. He is coming, and God wants you and I, as born-again believers, God wants us to get stirred again, to witness. A lot of saints don't even witness like they used to. You done got cold. Come on. A lot of saints, the word of God don't mean anything to you like you used to. You done got slack. And I know trouble. Oh, trouble, affliction, persecution. Yes, if you ain't really close to Lord like you should, and stand, it'll cause you to withdraw. Been down that road. Offenses and people talking about me as a prophet of God. It caused me to withdraw. I'm talking about me. I'm being serious about it. So why I did? I withdraw. I did. Because I was tired of people talking about me, lying on me. I didn't know how to overcome the public opinion, but thanks be to God. God showed me, and I'm telling you, you can live holy. Take God's word most serious. Even as Mary said to those about the first miracle, whatever he said, do. And y'all, I'm telling you, if the truth be told, we got some saints that ain't doing what God telling you to do, because you letting your emotion. God command us to love. God command us to forgive. God, it ain't if you feel like. Obeying God ain't got nothing to do with my emotions. I found out faith worked this way. Once you do what he do by faith, sooner or later your emotion aside with it. But you can't wait till you feel, I don't feel like reading. You ain't gonna never feel like reading God's word. I just don't feel like going to church. The enemy and your flesh team up together. You have to do what you hear the Holy Spirit telling you to do, or what God tells you. Your emotion will line up. But faith ain't got nothing to do with your emotion. That's why we got so many people walking around here with unforgiveness and offenses in their heart, because they basically, well, I just don't feel like. I tried for 30 years to forgive. No, you forgive by faith. God, you said forgive. I forgive them by faith. And then you have to cast it out and stop rehearsing what they said, what they did. You know how I know? I've been there. I've been transparent because I've been there. I had to learn. The Bible said Jesus learned through the things he had to suffer. Listen, you have to learn. I had to learn its consequences with obedience. I mean disobedience. I learned that when I make up my mind to do right, the enemy going to fight me. See, I had to learn that. I didn't get here where I'm at overnight, and I still haven't accomplished everything God want me to do. But I thank and praise the Lord that I'm telling you his God will for us, or better yet, humanity. And he meant every word, it's not God will that any shall perish, but all come to the knowledge of truth. And I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, who all been listening at this broadcast, if you don't backslide in any area of your life, cry out to the Lord and ask him to forgive you for allowing doubt and unbelief cause you to walk in rebellious and disobedience. Ask him you want to be restored, you want to be refilled, he'll do it. Father, in the master's name of Jesus, again, I want to say thank you for this word. I give you praise. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those that tune in. God, for that one that want to receive Jesus, their Lord and Savior, as they ask you, as they say that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that they believe that he came to save them, and as they ask for a Savior to come in to save them, God, I thank you for you saving them right now, the power being released. But then, God, a stronghold of alcohol, marijuana, whatever it may be, even the same thing, a stronghold, I break the power of it. I loosen from it in the master's name of Jesus. In the master's name of Jesus, I set them free. Now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. I commit them to your care, Father, that you would send people in their past to help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.